gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But
Glorious!
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward!
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin and delighted to join on the line by Warrior Wrestling promoter Steve Torello. How are you doing, Stephen and Steve?
Good, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm brilliant, thank you. So, thanks for joining us this evening. So,
absolutely. Happy to talk with you and happy anytime I can talk about wrestling and spread my love for the sport and promote our show and meet some great people out there.
Yeah, so Steve has joined us to discuss the upcoming Wrestling Warrior 2 on the 2nd of September. At Marion Catholic High School in Chicago Heights. So before we get on to your next event, I just want to ask a few questions about how you got into wrestling, a bit of history of the promotion. So firstly, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
Well, so I was a huge wrestling fan when I was a little kid. Like all good kids in the mid to late 80s, I was a Hulkamaniac. Yeah. I had every Hulk Hogan wrestling action figure, the punching one, the body slamming one, the bear hugging one. I had my Hulk Hogan wrestling buddy. I had the ring with all the other guys.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people, I fell out of it in the early 90s when it kind of lost a lot of popularity, 91, 92, 93. So I fell away from wrestling, was not a fan throughout the mid 90s. So I missed that period.
I missed the Attitude Era as well.
What'd you say?
I missed the Attitude Era. I stopped watching about 96 and got back into it 2005-ish probably.
So I missed like 92, 93 to 98. So I came back right in the height of the Attitude Era.
Yeah, so you didn't miss much.
Yeah, no, I've seen that now. I've gone back and watched Babel and King of the Ring, and all of 1995 is a blur, and I'm glad I was away.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, that's probably why I stopped watching it in 95.
Yeah, it was a bit much, but I got pulled back in summer of 98. And it was literally the Undertaker, Mick Foley, Hell in a Cell match, King of the Ring 98, that pulled me back in. I had a bunch of buddies who were huge fans, and I would always tease them and make fun of them. How can you still watch that? I gave that up 6 or 7 years ago. It's garbage. It's fake. And I was annoying them so much, they used to tape all the pay-per-views, and it was a week after that match, and they're like, all right, sit down. We want you to watch something, so you'll leave us alone. And they showed me Hell in a Cell 98, and that moment it was like discovering a new world. I was back in more than they've ever been in, and it's been a roller coaster for the last 20 years. I'm celebrating just about 20 years over being in a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I got back into it. I started looking out for results again in about 2005, but I got properly back into it when my son started getting, about 2011, I started properly watching again when my son started getting into it. So you've mentioned Hulk Hogan, who's some of your other favorite wrestlers growing up.
So a little kid, I was a Hulk Hogan guy. I was a Macho Man guy.
Loved
Jake the Snake. Mm-hmm. When I got back into it in the Attitude Era and afterwards, Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I thought they were incredible athletes, incredibly charismatic, the two coolest guys in the room. I was never drawn to the Stone Cold types, the tough, mean types. I was always drawn to the charismatic, athletic, in Kurt's case, funny guys who just were great performers.
Yeah, Kurt Angle had a bit of everything. I loved them at the time. So, yeah. Still wish you didn't do that bit with the little cowboy hat on.
Everybody remembers it.
Yeah. My 3-year-old calls him Yusa because he thinks everyone's shouting Yusa instead of Yusuk when he comes to the ring. All right, then you decided to start a promotion. How did that come about?
Say it again.
So, how did that come about?
The promotion? Oh, great. I've kind of had this long standing in and out relationship with wrestling. So as I said, became a fan, was a fan for many years. And then in college, I booked a literary festival at our college, and I brought Mick Foley in as a speaker and got to know Mick a little bit. And then I wrote my honors thesis coming out of college on the history of pro wrestling in the United States from World War II to the present. I had applied for a job on the WWE creative team, gone through a couple levels of the process interviewing there. Had some prospects there, ultimately didn't pan out. I had trained as a wrestler when I lived out in California. Wow. I trained under Joey Ryan and Johnny Goodtime. I came back to the Chicago area in 2010 and really started poking around with local promotions, trying to see if I could get involved in one way or another, and kind of just ran into a lot of closed doors here and there, and then ultimately decided, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. And so I first thought about doing it as a private venture, but then one of my best friends convinced me, said, hey, you know, you don't really care about making money on this thing, do you? And I was like, no, not really, I just want to do it. And he said, well, you got to do it at the school. I'm the principal of Marion Catholic High School. I'm the principal of our high school here, where I went to high school as well. And my buddy's like, do it at the school. Do it as a fundraiser. It'll be better that way. And he was right. And I pitched it to my boss here at school, the president of our school. And he absolutely loved the idea, fell for it right away, and said, we'll try anything once. Let's do it. Let's take a swing at it. And so we got the green light to do our first show this past May. And from the word go, my drive was always to do the best show we possibly could. We did not want to do this half effort. We did not want to throw together a ragtag show. And so we pitched a pretty steep budget to my boss, and he said, all right, let's spend the money and go for it. We brought in some big stars.
I'll say you out there.
Tickets. 850, 860 tickets. We didn't really get a final count there. It was kind of crazy. But well over 850.
Wow.
It's made some money for the school. All the money goes to scholarships, which is awesome. So literally every ticket sold, every glass of beer sold, every hot dog sold goes to help kids. And it was awesome. We got the green light to do it again.
Yeah, so you had an NWA world title fight between Nick Aldis and Sam Adonis on your first show. How did that come about?
You know, really just reaching out to people.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys have their booking information on Twitter or Facebook, or some of them have agents. And I was able to talk to Nick and talk to Dave Lagana, and we were able to set it up. David Lagana actually came and filmed bits and pieces of the show. And we were able to make it an official title defense. So we were thrilled. Our very first event, the NWA title was defended here in Chicago Heights. And the next time it's going to be defended in Chicago is Saturday, September 1st, and all in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
So that's the company that we're in.
Yeah, that's amazing. I do want to watch All In. I have to try and find a way of watching it. So looking at your card for your first show, you had a bit of everything. You had a comedy match with Ellsworth versus Hornswoggle with Noel Foley's boyfriend as ref, was it? I think.
That's correct. Yeah, Frank the Clown was our referee, and he's coming back on the second show too.
Nice. And then you had a high flying luchador excitement with DJ Z, Matt Sydal, Pentagon, and then you had a massive WWE feel main event with two former world champions, Del Rey and Swagger. So was that the plan going into it, to have a bit of everything?
That literally was our plan. We said we wanted all different types of matches so that no matter what kind of wrestling you liked, there was something on the show for you.
Yeah.
And as you said, WWE style, lucha style, indie match, dream match, couple great women's matches, comedy match, tag team matches, we had everything there.
Yeah, so take us through the day of your first show. And was it difficult to let go of control once the show started?
Great question. That's one of the best questions I've been asked. So the day was an absolute blur. There was a million things going on, and I'm used to that in my day job. I do a lot of events and major things happening. But the day was a total blur, and releasing control was, in fact, kind of difficult because the way wrestling works is not so much like writing sketches or directing a play if you're the booker or the promoter or the creative. It's really more like booking a music festival. You book the bands, you give the bands their time slot, and then they decide what they're going to play, how they're going to play it, what they're going to do. And so as much as all of us kind of fantasy book wrestling before we're involved in it formally, once you get involved in it formally, you really got to learn, and I learned very quickly, to trust the boys, trust the girls, you know, give them what you need, what you're looking for from their match, and they will do what they do best. And they did for us. They put on some great matches.
Yeah, I've seen the highlight packages on your website. It looked like a brilliant show. So.
Yeah, we were really thrilled with it. Everybody that walked away, I mean, we got tons of people at the door and then tons of comments online and several of the wrestlers who said, you know, the best first show we've ever been a part of. It was smoothly run. It was organized. It was, and we were just thrilled because we're like, man, if you saw behind the curtain, you wouldn't be saying that. But yeah, we dealt with three cancellations from performers the day of.
Oh.
We had some power issues. We had, I mean, it was a whole lot going on, but ultimately we were really happy with how we pulled it off.
So you're planning to have running stories going from show to show, or are you going to do each event as a standalone, like pay-per-view type thing?
great question. You are full of awesome questions. The first show we kind of booked as one standalone story. And the thought was, if it's the only show we ever do, it tells a standalone story in and of itself. And I'm not sure if you got the chance to check it out, but we laid it out so that the show itself told a story.
Yeah.
Sam Adonis attacked the Luchadors in the beginning, cut a promo. Sam's match in the middle added to that, and then Sam factored into, so he was kind of the through line, he factored into the Del Rio and Swagger main event. And so it was really kind of the story of two, you know, relatively xenophobic, jingoistic, nationalistic American heels talking down to the Luchadors or the Mexican wrestlers, and ultimately the main Luchador, the famed Luchador Del Rio, stands tall in the end when his buddy helps him out and they're able to vanquish the bad guys. So we tried to tell one story, standalone, night of there. Going forward, we're hoping to have multiple shows, hoping to do maybe 3 or 4 a year. And so if you follow us going forward, you will see that we're going to start to plant seeds and try to tell longer stories over multiple shows.
Hmm. So as you're going forward, are you planning to incorporate more Chicago-based wrestlers?
Last show and this coming show both featured big matches from the Stars of Freelance Wrestling, which is a local Chicago indie promotion that's amazing.
Yeah.
You want to talk about stories, they have incredible stories. For anybody listening, check out Freelance Wrestling and check out the Kylie Rae GPA story. It's been fantastic to watch unfold. So we want to incorporate more local guys. We've had a lot of big names the first two shows. We want to continue to get some big names, but we want to work more local guys into our story. So you'll see that beginning at show 2, spoiler alert, on September 2nd. You're going to see our local guys really beginning to get the chance to tell stories. You can see it already, actually, leading up to the show. One of our matches is DJ Z, whom people know from Impact, against Pat Monix, who's a local wrestler, and actually a buddy and trainee of DJ Z. And so we're really, our video guy, Rob Malinowski, who's fantastic, has put together some documentaries on DJ Z and Pat Monix leading up to the show, talking about their journey, talking about what it would be like to have this big one-on-one match, student versus teacher. And so you're going to see a lot more stories like that going into our shows in the future.
Yeah, DJZ is one of my son's favorites from Impact. I think he's a really underrated wrestler as well. I don't know why he's still stuck in the... Well, he's just been the tag team champions. He's always in that X division tag team level. I think he could make the leap up to upper mid-card.
Sure.
Level.
You know, I saw DJ Z on Evolve Saturday. Evolve was here in Cicero, and he wrestled AR Fox, and AR Fox is fantastic, too. They had a match where, and I DM'd DJ Z after this, he was the quickest I've ever seen him, the crispest I've ever seen him, and there was three of me and two other buddies sitting there, and we all just went, damn, DJ, we always knew he was great, but he was particularly great in this last match we saw him, and it was like, you know what, he has all the tools. It's just a matter of, is he going to get the break to give a shot?
Yeah, he seems to have gone up another level since this injury he had last year. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the punk rock supernova Eric Emanon, the leader of the IndyCard Mafia, the voice of the free world, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So as you said, we've got a huge show coming up in September 2nd, which will be headlined by the War of Attrition show, match, which features Rey Mysterio, Austin Aries, Ray Phoenix, Pentagon Jr., Brian Cage, Jeff Cobb, Rich Swann, and Sammy Guevara. So, this is a really interesting match. I don't know if I can do it justice describing
it. I will, for your listeners, I will lay out the match. It is something we cooked up about a year ago and considered having as our first main event for our first show, but it just didn't fit.
Yeah.
The way it works is it's an 8-man match, and at the start of the match, 8 men are randomly divided into 2 4 teams. They have a 4-on-4 tag team match. Losing team is eliminated. Of the 4 guys that are left in the winning team, they split into 2 2-man teams. They have a regular tag match. Losing team is eliminated. The 2 guys left who won the tag match, they go 1-on-1. Guy who gets pinned or submits is eliminated. The last man standing in the War of Attrition is our first Warrior Wrestling champion.
Yeah, it sounds like something I used to do when I was a kid on SmackDown, the games.
Yeah, you know, when I pitched it to the guys, I was like, hey, I've been sitting on this match idea, what do you think? All of us went, all the guys went, oh, that's great. Well, you had to have stolen that from somewhere. I'm like, I don't know, I don't think so, maybe I subconsciously stole it.
Mm.
And we looked all over that we could try to find any type of precursor to it, and we didn't find an exact one, so... We're claiming we've invented it.
Yeah, I've never seen a go 8-man tag team. I've seen where they've had tag team whole tournaments and then the final two. I've never seen from an eight-man to a tag team. So.
Well, we're hopefully going to be the first, and hopefully not the last. If it's a cool format, we'll do it again sometime.
So is it going to be the whole match in a row, or is it going to be like the opening match is going to be the eight-man tag, and then the tag match in the middle, and then the main event? Or is it going to be one big, huge match?
You know, we've gone back and forth on it, and some of the boys have asked, too, hey, what are we getting into here? And right now, we believe it's going to be one straight-through match.
Wow.
That way, it is truly a war. So when we get down to those last two guys, they're going to be dragging, and they're going to be throwing everything they've got, and we're hoping that that's going to be an incredibly dramatic final fall. We thought that it loses something if they go out and come back, go out and come, go out and come back. We really, to live up to the name War of Attrition, whoever's going to win this thing is going to earn it by going through this absolute.
Wow. All right, so you've got the card is pretty stacked. You've got James Ellsworth on the show again. Will he be defending his intergender title?
No, he won't. Actually, right. Just yesterday we announced on Twitter, well, the challenge was laid down, but I can confirm it will be picked up. James Ellsworth will team with Frank the Clown versus RJ City and David Arquette.
Wow.
Former WCW champion, David Arquette.
Oh, how have I missed that? That's going to be
amazing. Oh, it just came out last night, so I know you guys are, your time-wise, a little bit off from us, but yeah, it just came out last night. Frank the Clown laid down a challenge in an incredible video challenge. And I know that Arquette has already tweeted, we'll be hearing from him today or tomorrow, so we can confirm the match is a go. But we gotta wait and hear how David takes it exactly.
That's gonna be an amazing match. You've also got...
Right, it's gonna be a spectacle!
I wanna watch it. So, Sam Adonis versus Colt Cabana. That'll be another great match.
Yep, we've got two, and that is your traditional baby face against your heels heel.
Yeah.
Sam is, you know, the heel de los chicas, and Colt is not only beloved world round, he's particularly beloved here in Chicago, especially given his circumstances as of late with the news that came out last week. Colt is our boy. He always has been, but the people love him even more fervently now. So that's going to be a great dynamic.
And then Darby Orlin versus Jay... Bradley? I can't speak. Bradley? Yep. Jay Bradley,
Jay
the one used to be in OVW?
He's a big guy.
Yeah. He used to be on WWE.
Yeah, you've probably seen him WWE. He's in TNA for a while. He's around the Gut Check days, actually battled Brian Cage. Now he's mostly in Pro Wrestling Noah. He's 6'5", he's 265, he's a beast. Darby Allin, on the other hand, is a very, very unique guy. Short, small, very skinny. He's a flyer, he's an impact guy. And he has this great quote in a story we just put up on the website where Darby says, I don't fly to look pretty, I fly to hurt people. And if you've ever seen Darby, his signature move is called the coffin drop. It's all of his body weight flying down off the turnbuckle, either into the ring or out of the ring to crush his opponents. And Darby marches to the beat of his own drum. He's an odd dude. He's a character. He's an enigma. And he's going to get his butt beat by Jay Bradley. But you know what? He always pulls it out. So it's going to be interesting to see. This is truly, as Jay said in Jay's interview, this is a David versus Goliath match. Darby can't be more than 5'8", can't be more than 165 soaking wet, 170. Jay 6'5", 265 legit. And this is David versus Goliath.
I forgot to write down the women's match as we want sex. So.
You got it.
Where is it?
Well, I can tell you about them if you like.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead. Well, so you always have a women's match on the card?
Two of them. Yeah, the headline is Jordynne Grace defending the Black Label Pro title. Black Label Pro is a local promotion here in Crown Point, Indiana.
Yeah.
She's defending that title against Tessa Blanchard. Everybody knows Tessa. Tessa is amongst the elite performers, men or women, on the planet. She's an incredible in-ring technician and a brawler and a fighter. Jordynne, if you've never seen her, she calls herself Thick Mama Pump. She is a strong power lifter that can throw men around the ring. She often wrestles guys, and she throws them around like rag dolls.
Yeah,
she and Tessa have picked up once before, about a year and a half ago, and they're both tremendously better than they were even a year and a half. We think this match may steal the show. These two are going to crush it.
I'm looking at a picture of Grace now. She looks amazing.
Yeah, she is strong. She not only is she strong, but she's mobile, and she can wrestle. Sometimes you get argued the strong power wrestlers who are kind of just like a brick house and they're not moving. She can wrestle. And so we think this match is absolutely going to kill it. The other women's match we've got on the card is Chelsea Green versus Britt Baker versus Mia Yim versus Santana Garrett. Those are four incredibly athletic women. Mia just tore it up in the Mae Young Classic tapings. Chelsea has been Impact champion. Britt Baker, known as an independent dominator all around the U.S. Santana Garrett has been in the Mae Young Classic in the past. They've all got pedigree, and they are all athletes. So they're going to have a rip-roaring, quick, hard-hitting match.
Yeah, they're four of the best women on the U.S. Indie scene at the moment. I think Chelsea Green's another really underrated wrestler.
She's fantastic. And as a character, she's just a hoot. She's absolutely, Hot Mess Chelsea is an incredible character. And I can tell you this from working with her several times and seeing her in a lot of other shows and talking to her, Chelsea is just good people. She's a crazy character. She's a great wrestler. And she's good people. We love having her on our shows.
Yeah, and Sienna Garrett, she always gets a little chance on NXT, but they never seem to sign her. But she always looks good when I've seen her.
There's rumblings that they've got their eye on her, and as far as we know, that she hasn't signed anything or joined over there, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's not picked up pretty soon. It'll be our loss, because we love having her on the show, but she's destined for bigger things.
Yeah, and then you have a big six-man tag.
The guys from Freelance, whom I mentioned earlier, are back. These are six of the best guys, some of the founding fathers of freelance wrestling, and they're phenomenal wrestlers. Matt Nix, Isaias Velasquez, current freelance champ, and Gringo Loco are taking on Stevie Fierce, Bryce Benjamin, and the Ego Robert Anthony. These guys might steal the show, and I know that's their goal. I've been talking to Matt Nix, and his goal is they're gonna steal the show. You're gonna say, forget all these big names. Who's freelance wrestling?
Yeah.
And so they're motivated. They've got a chip on their shoulder. And they're talented, so that's a lethal combination.
Yeah. So going forward, what are you hoping for the promotion? You got. So we've kind of mentioned it slightly, but you're going to bring in more local guys, but you're going to bring in imports to, and then get the local guys to put over the local guys. Sorry, is that the plan going forward?
Yeah. So we will have a champion coming out of the War of Attrition match. So whoever that champion is, will be defending that title, and we are looking for the best challengers around. So whether they're Lucha Underground people, Impact people, Ring of Honor guys who aren't exclusive, people from the UK, New Japan people when they're not out on tours. We want the best thing possible. And so I would say that going forward, you're going to see a combination of great stories with some of our local talent, as well as high-end marquee matches with our championship being defended.
Right, so where can people get tickets?
WarriorWrestling.net. Tickets are available there. Front row is sold out. Fourth row is almost sold out. Second and third are getting there. Tickets start $30 in the bleachers, and there's not a bad seat in the house. It's a wonderful gymnasium. It's a good setup. So not a bad seat. So $30 is the cheapest ticket. You can also get a $25 VIP FanFest ticket.
Yeah.
That gets you in for an autograph and a picture with every wrestler on the show. Yes, including Rey Mysterio is included in your FanFest ticket. So that is a steal. For most of these guys, you pay $10 for an autograph apiece, but for $25, you can get all of the stars on our show. So you can't miss that. Pick up a FanFest ticket, pick up a show ticket, and hopefully we see a lot of people come out on September 2nd, both people who might be here, local in Chicago, domestic to the States, but also people that travel across the pond for All In. I can say right now that of all that, we already sold several hundred, 400, 500 tickets 2 weeks out, and we're expecting well over 1,000 total by the time all is said and done.
Wow.
Of many of the tickets that we've sold, I would say easily half to three quarters are not local. They're not from the Chicago area. They're from around the United States, several from Canada, some from the United Kingdom. I don't think we have any mainland Europe tickets sold yet, but of all the people flying in for All In, many of them heard about our show, and hopefully they're going to come check it out once they're here for All In.
Yeah, so FanFest starts at 5:15, bell time's 6:30. It's on the 2nd of September. So before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
Absolutely. So we've got handles on Instagram and Twitter. It's Warrior Wrestling with no vowels in wrestling, so WRSTLNG. We've got Twitter and Instagram at that handle. We've got a Facebook page as well. We post a lot of the videos and threads up on the Facebook page. You can email us at warriorwrestlingpromotions@gmail.com if you have any questions. But please check us out. One of the best things that's happened to us is we work with Rob Malinowski, from Taylor Vision Media, and he puts together these wonderful 10-minute documentary on the first show. He's got several hype videos. Our own in-house guru in media, Michael Cassidy, put together a great video explaining the War of Attrition match. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of great content out there. So if you want to check out some cool stuff, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, like us on Facebook.
And if you not able to make it to the show live, are you going to be putting stuff on YouTube, or can people see the videos on your website, the matches?
So for our first show is actually up video on demand right now on our website through the Pivot Share platform. We will definitely put show two up video on demand. We may also stream it. We're looking into that. There's kind of a lot that comes with streaming as far as headaches and logistics, which we might not be able to after the show. But worst case scenario, we'll definitely have it VOD after the fact.
Yeah, so all the links will be in the description below this interview. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
I would love to have you as well. It's been a good talk, and hopefully spread the word about the show. And just a reminder to everybody listening, it is for a good cause. All the money raised goes to help kids with financial aid for our school. So again, I'm the principal of this high school. I've got the best double life ever, principal of Catholic High School in the day, wrestling promoter by night. And anybody listening, we'd love to have you on at the show.
So what do the kids feel that you're having this wrestling promoter as the principal?
You know, it depends. So for the vast majority of the kids, it's a total non-factor. They're not wrestling fans, don't know what's going on. It's just something we do after school sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's a subset of kids who thought I was like a demigod when we announced this. Like, how did you get this? How did you? Oh my, like they just couldn't process it.
Hmm.
So you can definitely tell who the big wrestling nerds are because they just bawled about it.
Did you get that much? Did you ever get a bit of a backlash from the parents who don't understand wrestling?
You know, we had a couple staff members and a couple alumni of the school who were like, hey, what is this? What's going on? But as we told them, we've made our show family friendly. So no cursing, no blood, no violence, no overt sexuality. It's not the Attitude Era. It's very much the PG John Cena era WWE style. Although the action is hard-hitting, incredible, impact style, lucha style. So I think that has assuaged most people's fears. When we say, hey, look, you can... Just like you can have a circus that's edgy and not appropriate, or you can have a circus that's family-friendly. Mm-hmm. Same thing with a movie or a concert. You can do the same thing with a wrestling show. And I think most people understood that.
Well, brilliant. So, again, really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future. And good luck with what we're wrestling to.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris. It's been wonderful to talk to you. Appreciate it. Hopefully you get to check it out VOD. And hopefully you and your kids and your wife enjoy some wrestling shows going forward.
We will, yeah. Yeah, awesome. We're going... Yeah. 30th of September is our next one.
Wonderful. Awesome. Well, enjoy it. And if you get the chance to check out the show, give me a shout out and let me know how you thought it was. And everybody listening, thank you guys for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir.